As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, our shepherds have asked Tommy and I to present some lessons that will help us to grow in our purpose, and that is to glorify God and make disciples. And so in September, we talked about who we are in Christ, the faith that we have, and what that is to look like in our lives. And this being a new month, we're going to begin to look then at this idea of being together in Christ. And what does that mean? Well, we're going to seek to understand what we do together and what are God's reasons for why we do that. Next week and the week following, we're going to have T-Bone to present his thoughts and things that he does in his workshops on the idea of singing, so that we can focus and that we can give more to God through our singing, and that our focus can be so much better upon how we sing and why we sing. We're going to talk about all this month in our Lord's Supper talks about the things and the reasons why we take the Lord's Supper and those different aspects and elements of that. But today we're going to begin by looking at the idea of prayer. And just looking at, well, why do we pray together? You might say, well, you know, I can just as well pray alone. Why do I need to pray with somebody else? We want to look at that because there are benefits that are given to us that can only come when we are praying together. And so I want us to see that this morning. Think about, well, what is prayer? Well, it is communication with God. As saints, we have entered into a relationship with God our Father. And any kind of relationship, if it is going to survive, and hopefully if it will then survive, or excuse me, thrive, must have communication as part of that. And we see that God has given us today, we have His written word. And so He communicates to us through that. Prayer then is our avenue for our souls to connect with God. Not in contemplation or meditation, but in direct access to Him. That we can come before the very throne of God, the Creator of all, and talk to Him. That we have a God who wants us to come to Him in prayer. You know, there's certain times when maybe we need to talk to somebody, but they're just not available. Certain times when maybe that person doesn't want us to talk to them. That's not the case with our Creator. He wants us to come and talk with Him. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking there. It's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7 and verse 7. He talks about that. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is God saying, I want you to come to me. I want you to bring all that is on your heart. In the reading that was given for us there in Jeremiah 29, God says, I will listen to you. The idea that when you seek me, you will find me. That's what God offers to us through prayer. We see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are commanded to pray. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is not just talking with God, but it is communing with God. That our relationship is being deepened when we come and talk with Him. That in prayer we come humbly, realizing our need, our needs. And we come in total dependence upon God, saying, I can't do this. I'm giving this to you. I need your help. In prayer we praise Him. We confess our sins to Him. We give thanksgivings to Him for what He has done. We can intercede for others in prayer. We can make requests of our Father. Prayer is a privilege to come and tell our hearts to the Almighty God. Why should we pray together then? might look at it and say, this prayer seems to be a very intimate experience. And if it's an intimate experience, it might be best then to just do it privately with the Father. While we can and should come individually to our Father, there are things, there are benefits that we gain when we come together and pray together. And I want us to first just look at some examples of saints praying together to see what happened when saints pray together. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts. I'll have most of these scriptures up on the screen, but go ahead and turn to Acts. In Acts chapter 1, we have the apostles, we have the women, we have the brothers of Jesus, and they are all gathered in an upper room. And it says there in verse 14 of Acts 1, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. All of them were there together. They were waiting. Jesus had ascended already to the Father, but they were waiting for the coming of the kingdom. They were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, but they were praying together. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, Peter and John have been arrested, and they have then been released from their prison. In verse 23, picking up there, it says, and when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. We find in Acts chapter 12, Peter has been arrested and he's been put in prison. And in verse 5 there it says, so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. As we continue to read on in that passage, we see that an angel comes and performs a jailbreak, that the chains fall off of Peter. Well, let me back up. The angel first has to come and wake Peter up. And then the chains fall off of him. And then the gates are open and he walks out of the prison. And we pick up in verse 12 and it says, and when he realized this, when he realized that he was out of the prison, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. If we read on, we see that there's a servant girl who comes because Peter's there. He's sort of wanting to come in, almost knocking at the door, if you will. And the servant girl doesn't even believe it's him. She comes to the door, and then she goes back, leaving Peter there at the door. Because they were just praying for this. Praying for Peter. And now here he is. In Acts 13, we have here, the setting is now Antioch. And certain men are working there with the saints in Antioch. And it says in verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here these saints are praying for Paul and Barnabas as these men go out on that first missionary journey. They're praying together. They're praying for them. They're praying that God's will would be done, that the gospel would be spread. And in Acts 21 and verse 5, there it says, as Paul is here with the saints in the city of Tyre, he is going to Jerusalem. Several saints have told him, no, please don't go. Bad things await you in Jerusalem. But he says, I'm going anyways. And so we see here then in verse 21 that they come together, because Paul doesn't know if he'll ever see these people again. When our days there were ended, we left and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. I want to just take just a few moments to think about what these examples show to us about the idea of praying together. What are the benefits that we gain when we pray together? First, we have to understand that our faith, our walk, our spiritual walk, was never intended to be something that was done just on an individual basis. That we were supposed to be just alone and we've got to work this all out on our own. But it was to be done in community. If you look throughout the New Testament, you see so many times where this is the idea of one another is expressed. That we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to lift one another up. That we're to do this together. And so when we are together and when we pray together, we find that we have unity in prayer. In Acts 1 and verse 14, it says that they were all there with one mind, devoting themselves to prayer. That in prayer we are not different people with different directions or goals, but that we are joined together in one purpose. That we come humbly, joined together before the throne of God. I don't know that there is any more powerful thing that we can do than join together around the throne of God. That we are beseeching the Creator of the universe to act in our lives, to work His will in us and through us. That we are united when we ask of something of God. That with what we bring to Him matters so much to us that we are asking, will You do this, Father? When we're united in prayer, there's a connection to each other. A sense of belonging, not just to the Father, but to each other. That we share in each other's experiences. That one's person's needs are voiced by another. Whether it be joy or sadness, we join in with that person. Whether it be someone is saying, I need the prayers of the saints because my life is in shambles, someone in my family is sick, whatever that may be, when that is expressed to the saints, now we're connected. Now it matters not just to that one person, but it matters to us as we then take this before our Father and say, Lord, please help. United, we have amplified power in our request. James 5 and verse 16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Now, in the context of that verse, what it's saying is that we are to be confessing our sins to each other. That alone is a uniting effect. That I am expressing to you, I am becoming vulnerable to you. To say, I'm not perfect, I need help. And then we go and we pray to our Father for that help. But it says there that the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So if one righteous man can accomplish much in prayer, how much more then can many righteous people bring about through prayer? Sort of the idea of one log on a fire. It burns and it gives off light. But the reality is it will quickly become embers. But if you put a lot of logs on a fire together, they burn much brighter and they burn much longer when they're together. Not only are we united in prayer, but our faith increases. That the trust that God will answer our prayers and that He will do it in a powerful way to bring about His glory, that trust increases. That we pray for things together that maybe we wouldn't pray for individually. That someone says, I'm struggling with this temptation. Well, if I'm just praying by myself, I may never know that that person has that struggle. But now I do, and so I pray with them, and we all pray together, and then we see how God works, and that they are able to overcome that temptation. What does that do for me? That strengthens me to know that God answers prayers. Think about Acts 12. And consider how God delivering Peter from prison would have strengthened the faith of those saints there in John Mark's house. Can you imagine that? You're praying for Peter, and then Peter shows up at the door. Would that not give you that strength, that trust to go, okay, I know when we were praying this time, this happened. Now I'm faced with this other trial, this other difficulty. I'm praying to God because I know He will hear and He will answer. Praying focuses our mind on spiritual things. That we go from seeking our own purpose to desiring God's purpose. Many times when we pray, I think individually, we're seeking the best fix for our situation. And many times we're focused on the physical. I mean, all of us do it. Just think about in your own prayers, how much of the things that you pray to God about, how much are they physical versus how much are they spiritual? We're physical people. So we focus on that physical. But when we come together, there's something that changes, I believe, with us. And that we're not looking more towards the physical, but we're looking towards that which is spiritual. In Acts chapter 4, where John and Peter have been arrested and then they're released, the saints, I want you to notice what they pray about. They don't pray, please keep Peter and John safe. But they pray there in verse 29, and it says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence." That's not a physical prayer. That's a spiritual prayer. The focus is on what is God's will. How can that be brought about through our lives? And we see how powerfully God answered that. That the place where they were was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. Paul's prayers that he writes for us so many times are focused on the spiritual. He writes that he wants the saints that he's writing to be filled with knowledge, to be strengthened with power, to know the depth of Christ's love. That's spiritual. I was talking with someone the other day and they pointed this out to me. I think it's in Philippians where it's talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus, and it says Epaphroditus there was sick to the point of death. Paul had the power. He has healed people before, but he doesn't heal Epaphroditus. It's the prayers of the saints that bring that about. Paul's focus is spiritual. And when we pray together, there's something that changes within us, that we change to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. And I'm not saying that the physical is not important. It is. But the spiritual outweighs that which is physical. When we pray together, we know Jesus more. The reality of our lives is we all have our own perspectives. We come with our own, if you will, biases to anything. And so we see God in a particular way. But what also happens is somebody else sees God in a different way than is different from our perspective. And when we pray together, we see and hear those other aspects of God that we may not have known. One person said it this way: by praying with friends, you will be able to hear and see facets of Jesus that you have not yet perceived. Now, what I don't mean by this is that we just get up and we preach a sermon to each other. I've experienced that before. The reality of prayer, though, is to be focused towards God. And that it's not about recounting all the things to someone else, but saying, God, I need you to work in my life. But when somebody else does that, and then someone else says that, we gain different aspects and different perspectives of God through those persons' relationship with God. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded when we were in Mobile, Carla was praying with a group of ladies about every 3 weeks or so. And there's a part of me that wants to hear women's prayers. Hear me out, I'm not going off the deep end here, okay? But let's face it, men, we are very efficient in all matters of life. And so when we pray, we can pray very efficiently. But there is a different aspect, and Carla would come home and she would tell me things that women have prayed, and there's a sense of me that wants to go, I want to hear the women pray because they pray in such a different way than men do. And in doing that, we gain different perspectives of who God is that we would never get if we were just praying by ourselves. When we pray together, we know each other. Because it is in prayer, in the conscious presence of God, that we're most likely to let our facades fall away. You see, it is in prayer when we hear each other's hearts laid out before God. There is an intimacy that comes in prayer and comes in praying together. Think about Acts chapter 21. Paul is there with those saints in Tyre. He's not going to see, very probable, he's not going to see him again. And they all kneel down together. not just the men, but the men, the women, and the children, and they're all there on the beach. Think about, I don't know what they prayed about, but think about what they might have prayed about. And think about how closely knit they were. The intimacy that comes when we pray together, we know each other. We had a situation one time where there was a man who came and he told the group of saints, he said that he was going to divorce his wife. He told us on a Sunday and he said, I'm going to go meet with the lawyer on Friday. We had talked with him, we had begged him, please reconsider. But what we decided as saints is that we were going to get together every night that week, for that entire week, and we prayed together. We prayed for that one purpose, that this man would not divorce his wife. As it turns out, he decided to go ahead and do that, unfortunately. But what I want you to understand is, by us praying together every night, for that one purpose, we drew closer together than we could have ever been had we gotten together once a week for a football game. There is something that draws us together when we are before the throne of God, beseeching our Father to impact our lives, to influence our lives. Someone once said, common prayer is the joint striving of souls to lay hold upon the strength of God. Here's what prayer and praying together is all about. Prayer is not for God. God doesn't need our prayers. Prayer is for us. Prayer changes us to be more like Jesus, to be more spiritually minded rather than physically minded. You see, the greatest point of prayer is not getting things from God. It's getting God. So I want us then, tonight with Share Night, to focus together through prayer. The whole service certainly won't be devoted to that, but I want us to take certain aspects of what's going on in our group right now. Our shepherds are working to bring about, hopefully, a Spanish work here. I want us to be praying about that. I want us, because I know our shepherds are working to do things that will bring about a greater commitment on our part. I want us to be praying about our commitment. What is that going to look like in the next few months? What's that going to look like in the next few years? I want us to do that together. So I hope that you'll see the value then in coming back tonight to share together, to be united together as we pray, and as we sing, and as we worship together. But prayer is all about getting God. And so this morning I ask you, do you have God? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. You have not been baptized into Him. God says, I want you. He says, I've given you today to be my child. I've done everything. I've given you grace. Now it's up to us to make that choice. Or maybe it is that you just need prayer. That's what we are here for. To pray with you, with whatever's going on in your life. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand.